Hello and welcome to the Health and Happiness Show. You're on Untangled FM and it's Edwina Griffin. Thanks for joining us. Last week on the show, we were exploring new energy medicine approaches being used in hospitals and private practice for healing with Beth and Diane, which reminded me of the case studies that I learned about when I was studying hypnotherapy. You may have heard about hypnotherapy techniques for pain relief. How does hypnotherapy fit into the model for healing? What is past life regression? And how do lives between lives work, and what is all of that about? I've had many conversations with friends about this, and so I decided to get an expert on the show today. I am very excited to have a friend and one of my brilliant hypnotherapy teachers here to chat with us on the show. She is the co-founder and one of the lead instructors at the Institute of Energetic Transformation. Excuse my mumbling there. She's a clinical hypnotherapist, practitioner of hypnoenergetics, and a certified instructor with the International Association of Counselors and Hypnotherapists. Since graduating from the Australian College of Hypnotherapy in 2004, she's completed her certificate in past life regression with the Holistic Healing Center in New York, Life Between Lives Therapy with the Newton Institute, and a certificate in power hypnosis through the Australian Academy of Hypnosis. She also has a Diploma of Applied Clinical Hypnotherapy and an Advanced Certificate in Applied Psychotherapy Practice through the Academy of Transformational Psychotherapy. Her business background extends to senior leadership positions in merchant banking, and her executive roles in the disability industry were earned through extensive study and experience in childhood practices. Ultimately being drawn into alternative health as a way to make a significant difference in the lives of others through her unique energetically based hypnotherapy. This amazing woman lives and practices full-time in Byron Bay and draws clients from around Australia and the world. She specialises in chronic conditions, transformational hypnotherapy, past life regression and life between lives spiritual regression, as well as working as a training assistant and instructor for the Newton Institute. She is also a reconnective healing facilitator, a graduate of the Magician's Way program and one of the co-creators of hypnoenergetics. I would like to welcome to the Health and Happiness Show my friend, colleague and teacher, Colleen Dooley. Welcome, Colleen.
Thank you, Eddie. It's lovely to be here.
No, it's great to have you. Now, maybe we can start with your own personal story, because you have come from an executive background and from merchant banking and disability industry into energy work and hypnotherapy, which is quite a big shift. Was there any one incident that brought you into this path and shifted your life purpose in a way?
I guess so. I mean, the interest has always been there for me, and I was a little unusual that I was already on my spiritual journey when I ended up in investment banking. So I've already sort of established my own sense of self and what was really important to me spiritually, and I was already doing courses along the lines of that. I did a 2-year holistic healing course, and I had always had that fascination and naturally was drawn to a heart-based industry, which is a disability industry. But when I started studying or having interest in hypnotherapy, I did end up working in investment banking, and it was, the other way around. But it was really interesting for me to go in to such a harsh environment. But I had the intention at the time to take this work into the corporate world, and I thought, what better place to try it out there. However, it's not my journey, not my path. So I ended up getting that position became redundant. Actually, the whole organisation sort of went under, owing us all money. So suddenly I started working my business in Sydney as a hypnotherapist, and I was out of the blue offered a job in Byron Bay, which is the executive manager job, which is my primary background. And it ended up being my vehicle to come up to Byron, and I didn't know at the time that I was going to be starting my business, but after working under immense stress for 3 years, like most people, I ended up sort of having what I consider my little crash and burn. And it was perfect and meant to be, because I was doing Magician's Way at the time, and I was constantly being shown my heart. Intuitive readings with lots and lots of people constantly were revealing to me that I was meant to be teaching and healing. And at the time, I was thinking, how could I possibly do that? I've got a mortgage and, can't see how I could do it. So my soul seemed to have a different intention. So I had a health scare myself and was diagnosed with a tumour. And at the time, I just remember thinking, whatever this is, it's a wake-up call. I can't keep doing this to myself, and I'm going to listen. I'm listening to my body, and Certainly that diagnosis created that crush and burn for me, and I had to spend 5 months recovering. You know, it was just the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. And in that time, I kind of really connected back to my own rhythm and that desire of following my hypnotherapy again. And it was mainly because I was given a book called Journey of Souls, and I read the back of that and felt my calling. You know, it was really strong for me that I realized that I could combine my spirituality and my hypnotherapy in following the spiritual hypnotherapy path and studying the between lives. So I ended up doing the past life regression training, all whilst I was in my corporate job, actually. I started doing all of that. And so, yeah, it was my trigger to really take that leap of faith. And, you know, I just quit my job and started my business, even without being fully recovered, because I just couldn't stay in that environment anymore. And it was the best thing I ever did. You know, at the time I was terrified, and I so relate to so many people talking about a similar journey. But I'm here 4 years later to tell the tale, and I'm blown away with the doors that open once I close the other ones, you know. So I feel that we're supported once we're on our path. So that's kind of my story in a nutshell.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like you say, a story, I think, you know, often felt by a lot of people in the corporate world, and not everyone is as necessarily as brave as you to actually make that call. So it's really exciting to hear, like you say, how things opened up as soon as you made that conscious decision to follow your heart on that path. In terms of your approach, you're saying you've linked the spirituality and your hypnotherapy. Now, many people have heard about hypnotherapy in terms of quitting smoking and other addictive behaviours, and, you know, the role for hypnotherapy in that way. So how else can it benefit in terms of the way you're speaking in your different approach, bringing the spiritual into it? And can you chat a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I was trained traditionally in Ericksonian-based hypnotherapy, so primarily suggestion therapy, which most people know of when they think of hypnotherapy, so compounding a new belief over a period of time. I was then introduced to more deeper work, really working with the energy that's trapped in the body. So I feel that at the core of most, you know, certainly health issues, most behaviours, whatever's not working for us, we have an emotional core at the bottom of that that's driving our behaviour, and our subconscious mind will always try and do the right thing by us, and it will give us behaviours and strategies in order to deal with certain things that don't feel comfortable. So getting to the core of that, you know, so if somebody comes along with, you know, anxiety of some form, being able to regress that person back into the core of that, and, you know, suddenly you find yourself in a memory and re-experiencing being three, for example, and mum may have got a phone call and had to quickly race to the hospital, so she's just taken you next door and left you with the neighbour next door. So for a three-year-old, that is huge, you know, not understanding and suddenly being left with this person you don't know, and the fear that's suddenly captured in the body as intensely as the very first time is held there with a belief that's created in that moment, because you can only experience it through three-year-old eyes and the perception you have. So suddenly you've got an energy trapped with a belief attached to that event. So we teach it in the form of a triangle. Those three points are held together. And that's, you know, the very first time fear may have been experienced in that way, or the belief, I'm not safe. So as life continues on, the belief or the feeling can be re-triggered time and time again, because we're always exposed to something that can give us a fright, or, you know, that we're fearful about. But the energy gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And often to the point, if it's not released in any way, it becomes problematic and starts playing out, and the mind will give us behaviours, and eventually it could turn into significant anxiety, or it could turn into a phobia of some sort. But going back to the very first time and releasing it there means that the energy is simply not in the body anymore, and the belief is realised to be not true, so it's not held. So it's a very fast, effective, deep way to bring profound healing in a moment. So that's the difference when you work with energy, but bringing in, you know, another dimension, which is your spiritual being, is incredibly powerful, because there's no greater resource than that higher wisdom that's held within all of us, and finding out at a deep level why something's playing out, or you know, why we may have chosen that experience to learn, grow and evolve from, just adds another layer of realization that gives us the shift in order to let go of whatever we're holding that's mm-hmm. not serving us. If that makes mm-hmm. sense.
And yeah, absolutely. And as you're saying, you know, as a three-year-old experiencing a trauma, I know when I've chatted with people, and there's sometimes there's a perception that, you know, a little bit of fear, I think, around the possibility of hypno, but, you know, as you've just said, and maybe, you know, you probably got even more experience, or you would have on this area, but someone who's experienced something as a three-year-old, it may be something as small as, like you said, that, you know, your parents left you for 10 minutes, but as a three-year-old it was perceived as they've gone forever, or, and it's often such a small event, you know, and sometimes it may be bigger, but I know when I've chatted to people, you know, there can be a big fear around, oh, if I do that, there's going to be some huge, huge, horrible, dark secret that I'm going to reveal, and often yeah. I'm amazed that, you know, there's silly little things that I find that I'm like, wow, it was just that, and I've carried that around, and as you were just explaining, because it gets exaggerated over years, you think it's going to be huge, and it's often so small. It's the perception of the
Absolutely.
Three-year-old that makes it so big.
Absolutely. And, you know, to the three-year-old it is huge. To an adult it's not,
yeah.
to the three-year-old it is, and that's why it feels so strong, and there's part of you that knows. Like subconscious will kind of go, oh, I'm scared to go there because I've kept that at bay. But certainly when you go into it, and the conscious mind never goes away, so you still have that adult awareness in the background that you're okay, you know. So people often fear the unknown, or they fear what will be triggered, but it's held in the energy field anyway. So way better to have it up and out, because it's not serving in a lower vibration held in the body. And as I said, you know, the mind will give us behaviours, strategies or whatever it needs to keep it at bay that are not helpful. So, you know, there's nothing that can happen apart from the release of the energy, really, if you're with a trained, you know, professional that knows how to deal with it. You know, and I would suggest that, you know, people take on board the importance, you know, if you're going to go and see a hypnotherapist or a past life regressionist or a life between life spiritual regressionist, that they're very well trained and they're certified in what they do. So that's the important part, because, you know, I've heard lots and lots of stories about people in big group past life experiences, and I know that majority of the time when I take somebody into session, they'll have what we call an abreaction, where that energy is, you know, that experience is re-experienced to the point where the feeling comes up, and it's really easy to work through when you know what you're doing. But if you're in a big room with lots of other people, it's kind of opening that up without the support of a trained person there to take you through it. Mm. So I think that that's the most important point to highlight, the importance of choosing somebody who is well-trained and does know how to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And with the regression work, you know, can you maybe share with us a couple of success stories or, you know, yeah, I guess successes or experiences that you've had when facilitating clients in terms of, I guess, in terms of enabling people to understand the benefits, because often people have said to me, you know, well, you know, I'm not really on that path, and what, you know, I don't want to go down that path. And sort of, as I know you've witnessed and I've seen, there are a lot of benefits that people may not be aware of in their day to day life.
Absolutely.
Or in
yeah.
terms of health, you know.
Yeah, for sure. If you're talking about past life regression, because a lot of people are uncertain about that. I guess most people know about hypnotherapy and age regression, so, you know, regressing mm-hmm. back in this life to sort of a childhood trauma, as we talked about. But with past life regression, I've heard people say, and I've been to lots of courses, and I, you know, I've heard people say, oh, it's not about the past, it's about the present. And I have to disagree with that, because I, you know, do it for a living, whereby going back to the past heals the past, the present and the future. And past life regression is no different in how it's held in the body. And, you know, examples of that might be, you know, I had somebody say to me that they've always had shoulder pain, and they've been to osteos and physios and doctors and everybody, you know, they've had acupuncture and tried everything for it, and the pain can't be identified, can't be diagnosed. Apparently they shouldn't have it, but they do. And we, you know, we went back in to a past life, well, went to back to the court, went back to past life, where they went back to the death scene, and they had, it was around the time of the 1920s in the States, and this person happened to be a woman who, it was unusual for her to work as she did, but she worked with this guy who had fallen in love with her. So she had a bit of a cocky attitude for a woman back then, unusual that she was working, so I mean it must have been the kind of character that she was. But they'd been out drinking after work, and she showed up her boss in front of a group of male friends, and of course he was...
She showed up, sorry? I didn't hear
that. Her boss in front of his mates.
Oh, okay.
So she'd said something
right.
smart to him and embarrassed him in front of his mates, and so he was, you know, full of rage and ended up driving her to this clearing, this isolated clearing, and she knew as they approached there that it wasn't good, and kind of ran, and as she ran she fell down this kind of gorge and fell and broke her neck, and the healing that was able to be done utilizing the spiritual being and the knowing around the contract between them and everything else that we discovered meant that we could do the release of that, and she came back into the room, you know, opened her eyes and said, oh my God, that's the very first time I've ever been pain-free. I can't feel it at all. So it was held in her blueprint
wow.
energetically, and it was that easy to clear. And of course, you know, as I said, she tried everything prior to that. So that's a physical release. Phobias can be past life oriented as well. I had a woman who had a phobia of fruit, of all things. I've never come across that one before. But ever since she was a small child, she used to walk into fruit and vegetable shops with her hands behind her back, not touching, making sure she didn't touch anything, didn't want to be there. Her mum taught her how to pick up potatoes through a plastic bag so she didn't have to physically touch them, and would not eat
wow.
fruit or vegetables all her life. Her mum would sneak mashed banana into custard as the only way she could get her to eat fruit. And so as a mother herself, she peeled bananas for her children with tongs. And if she ever accidentally touched anything, she'd have to scrub her hands. And it was pretty full on for her. And we took her into the core of that and went back to a past life where she was dying of some sort of stomach issue, whether it was cancer, an unknown back then. But it was, you know, a chronic, painful condition for her. And she related that to eating fruit and believed that the fruit was killing her. So the belief and the energy of fear had been captured in her energy field and brought through. As soon as she realized was that life had nothing to do with this life and the healing had occurred, the energy release, she came back. And it was such a beautiful experience for me to sit with her afterwards, because she said, wow, I could actually feel that I could hold a banana, because it was mainly bananas and oranges she had a real issue with. And I happened to have a banana with me, and I said, would you like to try it? And she said, yes. You know, she thought about it and said, yes, I would. And she put her hands out, and I was able to place a banana in her hands. It was a really powerful moment for her and for me to watch as she held a banana and teared up, because she said, I don't have a need to race off. I can actually hold this. Sounds bizarre to us, but to her it was massive.
Yeah.
And she then went, we were at a grief retreat and I was working at, and she went and tried these fruits, she tried cherry tomatoes for the first time and was telling everybody about the experience and said, I can't wait to go home and do banana custard for my children. And that was just massive for her. But that was, you know, past life oriented and, as I said, just as easy to clear from her belief
wow.
system and her energy field. So that's the sort of healing that occurs every day in this work for me. You know, I could rattle off so many occasions, but there, that's a fear and a physical condition that was unknown as to the core and the source of it. But, past life regression enables that. So it's quite amazing.
Wow.
And obviously emotionally, lots and lots emotionally. You know, with regard to relationships, for example, you know, just challenging interactions with people can often stem back to a past life experience where it's karmically being played out, or you know, somebody's being paid back. You know, somebody's really supportive in this life because they did that for them in another lifetime. You know, it's just constant with the healing that can occur going back into the core and source, which past life. So, yeah, that's the kind of value that you can get.
Incredible stories. Yeah, and I mean, I know even when I did some sessions with you, it's sort of, as you were saying, you know, past life, present, future, that was one of the most, you know, exciting but also confronting things I found when I did a session with you was that actually I came out of it feeling like the past life experience was as real as the present, so it was very hard to differentiate for me for a while, you know.
Yeah.
And that in itself, you know, apart from the actual...
You're incredibly... Sorry, go ahead.
Kind of getting a grip of that in itself. And for me, shifted my perspective on, you know, I'd read present, past, future, you know, it's all same at the same time. And I was like, yeah, whatever that means. And I have to say the experiences that I've had with past life work with you were, now it's actually this fact. It's like, I don't know what the difference is because there isn't one.
Energy.
And also you, the physical, you know, changes and the lessons and things are so powerful. But that those examples, thanks, because they're rarely, you know, concrete examples of a specific situation that those people had that are very clear. They're almost tests for those who may be less convinced about the practices.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's very commonplace for people to sort of not know. You know, it's not exactly something we've experienced in our mainstream left-brain society. You know, all that kind of thing has been shut down. There's a lot of societies that are very open to reincarnation, but our society doesn't tend to accept it. You know, if you can't see it and touch it, it's not real, you know. But when you have the experience of feeling the emotion, and sometimes people go there, they come for therapy, they end up in past life, and they cannot deny the experience, and they are suddenly open to, because they've had that knowing experience. And I think that's what it is. It's a knowing. I often say to people afterwards, even if they come for past life and they're a little uncertain about it at the end, like, did I just make that up? Firstly, I say, you know, well, if you made it up, why would you make up the life where you were a street sweeper? The relevance of that, the relevance of that life and the experience and the learnings are so powerful and relevant to their current life, and they don't have enough time to think about that. The information comes out, you know, and they're aware of that. But what I say to them at the end is, because we go back, as you know, Eddie, we go back through some childhood memories to get the mind used to going back and recalling forgotten memory first, you know, because we don't tend to remember a lot about early childhood memories. So that's a realization that the mind can do it. And then we go back to the womb, where the intention is for the superconscious mind to be activated so that we know. So, you know, when we get to the womb, the person has a knowing about coming into this life. And then back to a past life. So the experience is a really deep, rich one by the time they get back there. So I say to them at the end, if they ask me, you know, could I have just made that up? I'll say, well, you can imagine having dinner with a famous person. And I usually use Johnny Depp. He's my favourite made-up person I've dinner with. And they'll say, yes, I can do that. And, you know, you can close your eyes, you can see the dinner table, the person before you, you can imagine having a conversation. But I ask them whether the childhood experiences they went through, but they can remember that. And I say, so was the past life more like the childhood experiences of the memories, or more like the dinner with the made-up dinner with the famous person? And in that moment, they really get the difference, because it's more of an experience and a knowing as opposed to just in the head. So that's when they go, oh, I get it. You know, and they really know that difference. Yeah. So.
Interesting. Now, what about... Finish. I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay. I was just going to say that the difference being is that it's very much an experience, and certainly very different to somebody doing a past life reading for you. You're experiencing the sense of the emotion of being back in that experience. You're seeing or sensing, because not everybody sees, you're sensing an experience that's coming to you, you know, because you're tapping into a memory. So it's never as clear as you see somebody in this life before you, because it's a memory. But people get it differently. Some see it in the form of vision. You know, some people get a sense of the knowing. Some people get a combination. So, however it's held, in our memory is how we re-experience it. But certainly that knowing is what's the important part of it.
And so for a past life reading, as you're saying, someone is actually sort of dictating what they're seeing versus seeing it ourselves.
Yeah, and nothing's more powerful than your own experience, you know, when you're experiencing it, nobody's telling you. I mean, certainly if a past life reading occurs and they resonate with you and make a little bit of sense, you know, oh yeah, you can get it like that. But at an even stronger level, you feeling and sensing and knowing is another layer to that. You know, it's incredibly powerful to know it and embody it as an experience you've had. And once you feel that, you know, people also have a past life shown to them, because it's always about the relevance, and I always seek that out. Why was this person shown that life? And, you know, a lot of the time it's for the healing, because something's been carried across in an ongoing lesson. But the energy and the belief of another lifetime doesn't necessarily serve to bring into this life. So we can do a healing there, a release of that. But it could also be that they're shown that life to gain something from that life, you know, that they were a really powerful speaker in another lifetime, and they feel the feeling of being in that. So you can imagine how powerful that is to lock that energetically into the current physical presence, because they can feel it, you know, and they never felt such confidence in this lifetime. But, you know, here they are accessing a lifetime where they felt incredibly powerful. Bang, you know, you bring that feeling in and it's available to us. So it's not always just for the healing. It can also be for the powerful experience that can be brought back.
Well, that's interesting in itself, yeah. So would you consciously go back into, with the intention of trying to go back into a past life to bring out some qualities that someone may be wanting to, you know, increase or exaggerate more in this lifetime?
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, you can set an intention for the life we go back to that can highlight a certain affinity to something, or, you know, some people say, oh, I've always had a really calling to spend time in Japan. I've always loved Japan. I buy Japanese things. And sure enough, they've had lifetimes in Japan, or, you know, they're familiar with the language. They find it really easy to understand a language, or they love the experience of being in Africa, you know. So it can be that affinity is our intention, or it could be, you know, I've always felt that it was really uncomfortable to have anything around my neck, you know. So we set the intention that if we can gain clarity and understanding, we're going back to a life that will help us with that, we do that. But certainly if it's about accessing a really powerful state, you can do that too. It's all, you know, the power of intention is incredible. However, if your soul wants you to see a different lifetime, that'll come up. So, yeah, you know, people come with the intention of past life sometimes, and suddenly we get healing hijacked, because it's like their soul knows that if they get into the chair with somebody who can facilitate healing, then that's the opportunity. So I always say that to somebody, you know, it's our intention to go back to past life. But if your soul wants you to do healing in this life, it'll come up along the way, and if I can do it and continue on, we will, but sometimes it's the entire session. And most people really relate to that and go, okay, you know, I trust that, and where it goes is where it goes.
Yeah, so it's kind of trusting however it goes is the way it's meant to be for whatever healing.
Absolutely. It's perfect always.
What about the life between live sessions? Well, you know, what exactly is that all about? That's something I haven't experienced myself. Love to know. I guess, you know, the intention for someone doing it, and maybe if you can outline what a typical session would be, if there is such a thing.
Yeah, sure. Well, a past life regression, most people know, is going into a past life and experiencing what you've been before. But going into a life between life session is a very different experience. It's an experience of your soul and the memory of your soul essence re-experiencing what we do between lives when we're preparing for the next lifetime. So how we access that is very similar. We go through a past life regression to the death scene, but we need to prepare for that too, because accessing the between life is is a really deep state that we need to be in to access the superconscious, not just the subconscious where a past life is held. Accessing the superconscious mind is our soul essence in a very powerful way. So we do a past life regression in preparation first. And so therefore the soul knows how to do it. The subconscious mind knows how to go back and access the memories and really grounding in, going deeper and deeper. And then the first time we do it, we allow the soul to naturally leave the body and we access some soul wisdom at that point and then we leave it there. The next time we do that to go into a life between life session, it's exactly the same, but this time we're going even deeper, richer, gaining more and more detail from the memory. So this time when we get to the death scene, the soul is just ready to return home. So it's so deeply connected that the soul just naturally returns home. And some really common themes. I mean, Michael Newton did 35 years of research around this work. He had a science background and happened to be a clinical hypnotherapist, but he was an atheist. He didn't believe in really past life, for one, and certainly didn't believe in anything else. But he couldn't deny the fact that he accidentally regressed people back to this place they all described similarly, regardless of their age, their culture, their background. So he started doing research and did 7,500 case studies over 35 years, which is an enormous volume of work, and had very much the intention of the science really, really pounding them with questions, what's happening now, blah, 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 with the same intention of all these different places he'd heard people experience between. So that set up for this work to be seen as credible, and he then had pressure on him once he wrote Journey of Souls and Destiny of Souls, his two books, which are about the work but primarily case study based books. The pressure was on him to teach the work, so he created the Newton Institute, which you mentioned in your brief about me, and that is now, I think, in 20 countries, and there's about 200 certified practitioners throughout the world doing this work. And basically, once we leave an incarnation, that's a natural entry point to the spirit world, we could possibly be greeted by our spirit guide. That's a typical, if there's any typical experience, and I'm reluctant to say there is. it's common for our spirit guide to turn up, and we often have a healing because often it's a lifetime where emotionally or physically our energy field has been really impacted by the human experience. You know, it's a very dense, full-on experience, especially with emotion, which is only experienced here on Earth. So as the soul just naturally starts to return home, it's like a release of the negative residual from that lifetime and a healing that may occur. And then another, I guess, common experience is to go and debrief that life before a panel of higher beings. So it's referred to as council or elders, or, you know, the higher beings that come from a place of complete love, you know, unconditional love and non-judgment, but just support for a soul who's just experienced the opportunity to learn, grow and evolve in an incarnation. So they're being offered wisdom. But because there is no time in the spirit world, it is also possible to access knowledge and wisdom about our current life. So people come with a list of questions that they want to know from this life. And as the therapist facilitating that, I ensure that those questions get answered at some point, whether it be from the spirit guide or from this, you know, this panel of higher beings. And that's incredibly helpful, you know, for people finding out about their life purpose in this life, or finding out about the soul group. They may go and visit their soul group and identify souls that have incarnated with them in this lifetime, and it usually really makes sense to them. You know, with the connection they have with people here, they go, oh, such and such is there. Or, you know, often our close family unit may pop up. Certainly partners could show up in that, not always in a positive sense. I mean, one of my biggest teachers in relationships, most painful ending of a relationship and one of my biggest connections with former partner. And of course, he turned up, and I remember going, "Of course he's here." You know, initially I went, "What?" But of course he's here. He's one of my biggest teachers with this life. You know, biggest experiences ever in this life. Of course he's going to show up. So yeah, people have all sorts of experiences returning home. But it's certainly in the form of knowing that death doesn't exist because you've already been through it, and the experience of leaving a body is beautiful. So they get to experience that. It's not anything to fear at all. You know, you hear about near-death experiences. It's very similar in a deep state of hypnosis when you leave an incarnation in another lifetime and cross over. So they realize there is no death. It's just one experience to the next, and that's so freeing for a lot of people. You know, I guess I used to fear death, and now I kind of look forward to it. As much as I don't want to speed things up, I'm here for a reason. I look forward to that experience because it's beautiful, and it's off to the next experience. You know, and people often when they're in soul state, they realize. Just from a higher perspective, that it's all just an experience. So it's just that, you know, in our human form, we put judgment of right, wrong, good, bad on what we perceive in the world. But from a soul perspective, it's just an experience. And our soul's learning and growing and evolving. So there's so much that is gained it's at a knowing level. They can't be gained easily from a head level, a conscious head level here on, you know, here in this lifetime. And I can give you an example of how that happened for me. My mum was my biggest teacher. And I knew that consciously because I'm, you know, spiritual, and I get that those people who push our buttons the most are showing us and teaching us the most. But I still, it didn't help me to know that. And it was challenging. But when I...
You've got to live it, I get it.
But in my soul state... When I really connected at a soul level with my mum's soul and found out that she purposely came down to teach me these things, to teach me things, that's all I needed to know, at a soul level of knowing that, it was such a shift for me to feel absolute gratitude toward her. And I still, you know, I still had my lessons with her, and I didn't really get it until her death, until I was... you know, fortunate enough to support her through her passing and promising her there was nothing to fear. So I'd moved through stages of, you know, anger and resentment to compassion when she became unwell, and then moved into a place of love, but absolute unconditional love once she passed. And I really got the last piece of the puzzle because I was writing her eulogy, and it was to a mainstream audience. You know, I'm the black sheep of the family. I'm a weird one in everybody's eyes. But I...
Yeah, I get it. Many of us relate to that.
My heart. Well, I spoke from my heart at her funeral, and I said to this audience that I believe that when we come down, that, you know, that we all come down to Earth to learn, grow and evolve. And when we're coming down or preparing to... Those souls closest to us will put up their hand and say, "I'll come down and help you learn that, Colleen." So my mum, I felt, had come down to teach me about tolerance and unconditional love, which she taught me in that moment, and most importantly, how to be yourself regardless of what other people think. And that was my biggest challenge with my mum, because she just didn't care what other people thought. And being a child of hers, I was horrified all the time. Like, "Mum, did she just do these things?" And I was so embarrassed, and, you know, I was cringing constantly with her behaviour. And yet that's what I value most in my life, and she always showed that. So that moment of me writing it was the last moment where I really got it. And, oh, the unconditional love I now feel for her is immense and enormous. And it took for me to go through those many layers and stages of learning to really get that. Yeah, so an LBL experience enables that. You know, that's really powerful.
Wow. Yeah, thank you for sharing that story. That's, you know, a huge understanding of how it works. And so, you know, from what you've just said, I'm feeling like? Is it one session, or is there no? I mean, I guess there's no typical. I don't know. It's sounding like, depending if you have questions, that one may be enough.
Interesting, because I always thought it was one, and I was only talking to a client yesterday who had a beautiful LBL experience, and we're talking about it at the end, and she said, you know, I feel I could, in a couple of years, have another one of these, because I feel it would go to another level of understanding of what I'm ready for then. I could ask different questions, and I said, that's what I feel too. I feel that you can have every couple of years and really get another level of learning and experience that you're ready for then. So, you know, certainly one may be what some people have, but I feel that you can have however many you're drawn to according to what's going on, and things are speeding up. So, you know, people might sort of be ready sooner than a couple of years for another one. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any parameters. Yeah. The other thing I'll say that I feel is really powerful about LBL is for people who have lost somebody in this lifetime, especially a child. Like I had a woman who'd lost a five-year-old with leukemia, and the experience she had when she crossed over from past life, because of course she wanted to know about that, what she felt she was being punished because she lost her child, she must have done something terrible. And when she crossed over, that soul greeted her, and she spent the entire session, you know, and by the way, the sessions are typically 4 hours long, so really long, deep session, being in trance. Yeah, and she spent that whole time with his soul, and she said she could feel him, like she was crying. She said, I could feel him sitting on my lap where I had my chin on his head as we did when he was here, and she said he's telling me the reason he left and what, you know, what he had in the way of a contract with me was all about, and I really get that. And, you know, she just had the most profound experience of reconnecting and finding out everything she needed to be able to accept his loss and to see it as an important part of her journey, like she could never have seen it before, because, you know, she felt it at a soul level and knows it at the deepest level possible. And another woman who lost her baby, same sort of thing. She said that the baby was only survived 4 days, and she said that her husband kind of accepted and coped with it, but she could never. And it was 10 years down the track, and she could never accept it. And she found out from that soul. She reconnected with that soul as she crossed over as well, and she said that soul had come down. The agreement was that it would come down if she needed to open her heart. And so, of course, she did open her heart. As soon as her heart was open, as the child came into the world, that was the agreement, so the child left. And so she went, oh, it was never about my husband. That's why he was okay with it. It was about me and this soul. And it was an agreement that I now know and remember, but I could never have got to that place, you know. So it's really fascinating. The experiences people have that they're meant to have when they really connect with the knowing.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's really coming to, you know, hearing you say this, is these experiences are typically things that I've heard about only through people who were gifted with, you know, some people are gifted with psychic abilities and able to connect to other realms. So the exciting part is that this process, it sounds like, enables, you know, those who may not have those gifts to actually access this realm and be taken there.
That's right. And have the experience themselves. You know, there's no doubt.
As you were mentioning, you know, with past life readings and things, it's you know, one thing to be told that this was the reason, but the thing that is sounding so powerful and healing with this life between lives is that you're actually feeling and experiencing it and communicating it ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredibly powerful to know it, you know, and I can't say that enough. It's a knowing that you can then embody and take into your life from that moment on. So, and it kind of can open up a portal where you still feel that connection with your spirit guide, you know. So it's like once you've had the experience, you can feel it, you know, or they, somebody, even in a session I do, in a therapy session, if I can connect them with their loved one, and they feel the energy of them, because the possibility of anything is limitless when you're in a state of trance in the subconscious mind. So you can feel and sense things that you can't consciously. And to feel and sense the energetic presence of a loved one who's crossed is incredibly powerful. To know that they have never really gone, they're just not there physically, tangibly to touch, but energetically you can still feel their presence. So, you know, that's once it's opened and known, it's available. You know, people can feel them and there's such a sense of peace and connection that they have from that moment on. So, yeah, it's pretty powerful stuff.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for sharing those case studies as well. It does give another element of understanding because I didn't know as much about that at all. And what about you founded the Hypnoenergetics Program. Can you explain a bit about what that program is in terms of the difference between that and standard clinical hypnotherapy?
Yeah. Well, we talk about hypnoenergetics as the four dimensions of who we truly are. Hypnotherapy traditionally works with the emotional landscape, primarily the belief that's been, you know, kind of driving us underneath the surface, which you don't know about until you go into the subconscious, because the conscious mind thinks it knows everything, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, it's what's going on under the surface that's really driving us. So going into the subconscious means you can access a belief. Traditional hypnotherapy works on changing a belief over a period of time, which is great. And so you hear about people, and I'll use smoking in that case because people identify. So they might go to a hypnotherapist and stop smoking. And it might be great for 3 years and suddenly they start and they really don't understand that. It's, to me, because the emotion is triggered. So even though the belief has changed, the energy was still held there. So as soon as that was triggered, something might have happened 3 years later where that feeling occurred again and the behaviour came back. So what we do with hypnoenergetics is we work with the emotional landscape, the beliefs, the physical presence, because it has a consciousness of its own and it communicates to us. And I brought that into play through my own healing journey in connection with what my body was saying to me, you know, my real focus on going into the knowing and connecting to the physical presence and the body's consciousness and the wisdom that comes from that. The other part is the energy field, and I've said it so many times in the conversation, you know, about the energy. It's all energy and it's held. Everything we've ever experienced is held in our energy field, and it can come through from another lifetime and it's held there. And it's not always serving us, you know, it could be a low vibration, but to go in and be able to release that energy and replace it, like releasing it, and it brings us to a place of neutral, which is great, but replacing it or transmuting into a higher energy, then it raises our vibration. So the energy field is just critical. And the spiritual being is the fourth aspect of working in this model. So no matter how we enter into the subconscious, it could be through the physical presence straight in and communicating with the body. It could be through the belief system, so going into the emotional landscape, or into the energy itself, or the feeling that's playing out, such as anxiety. However we enter, we just weave around those four dimensions. So we connect with a spiritual being, find out wisdom along the way. We release out of the energy field and we access the power. Once we've released a limiting belief, we find out what the real belief is, and it's the one that serves. So it's utilizing our whole being to do the healing, because that's who we are. We use it as a model of a pyramid. So all those four sides, those different dimensions, make up who we are. So we make sure we holistically approach that. We weave through those different dimensions as we're doing the session, and we follow the energy. So it might be that the body, you know, during a session, somebody becomes nauseous. You know, a traditional hypnotherapist would tone that down using suggestion therapy. But we go, great, what's that, you know, saying to the subconscious mind, we're listening, what have you got to say now? And bang, incredible wisdom comes. Or we go back to something as a result of that nauseous saying, listen here, you know, the body speaks. So, you know, it's utilizing all those four dimensions in a very powerful way, which means that the healing is immediate because it's energy. So we don't need those ongoing sessions. in most cases one, maybe two sessions can clear even significant anxiety or depression over 30 years because it's about the energy and the holistic mm-hmm. approach of making sure that there's a new belief, the event is seen more powerfully, and so the feeling, the belief and the event are changed to the point where it's a high vibration triangle held in a energy field as opposed to what was there, if that makes sense. So it's a very holistic approach utilising the four dimensions of who we are and ensuring that they're all aligned and, you know, the vibration will just naturally raise. So that's hypnoenergetics. It's very much working with the energy field and the spiritual being and the consciousness of the body. You know, a lot of hypnotherapists do work with the physical body, but, you know, we work with all of it. So that's what hypnoenergetics is all about.
Oh, great. Okay. Now, you're offering several different courses in Australia. What can you go through the different courses that you do offer?
Sure. We do a certificate in hypnosis, so it's an introduction, really, to hypnosis, because we don't tend to do much therapy, but how we teach it is an introduction to the energy aspect of that, so really powerful suggested therapy, but it's of an energetic sense. We then have a diploma in clinical hypnotherapy, so that's a really powerful course. That means that the moment you come out, you're able to work with the most significant issues because you're doing the work on your fellow students during the very intensive weekends where you have, you know, very high staff student ratio, where we keep the courses quite intimate so that the support is there, because we find that working with energy means that, you know, the experiences are huge, and that happens
I've experienced it myself. I can vouch for that.
Even more now that we really focus on the energy aspect, you know, it's just like heightened because I guess, you know, that's what's required out there because things are, you know, speeding up as we know. So it's like this is going to the nth degree every moment because that's what is happening outside. And fortunately, we're all three therapists working constantly, so we're up on what's happening with our clients that then comes into our teaching, and our students always push us. So the diploma enables people to go out, and they're already working with case study students, the case study clients through the training, but armed for whatever people come with as soon as they graduate. We have a graduate diploma of hypnotherapy as well, which is designed for people who have some sort of alternative modality, a diploma in something else, usually energy-oriented, you know, kinesiologists, things like that, where we can fast-track them to a diploma and give them all the hypnotherapy and all the tools and techniques that we teach. So that's a graduate diploma, and that's becoming really popular. And then we have a postgrad certificate that is for existing hypnotherapists out there who've been trained elsewhere and want, you know, the hypnoenergetics approach primarily. And we also keep, you know, our students want more and more, so we keep giving them more through a postgrad certificate for them as well. So there's two types of postgrad. And, of course, we do past life regression in a way that aligns to the Newton Institute so that students are ready to take on the life between lives training should they desire to move down that path. So they're the courses that we currently offer. And we call it the Institute of Energetic Transformation because it's so not just hypnotherapy. You know, it's like hypnotherapy in disguise, really, but using the power of hypnosis and hypnotherapy you know, it's a very powerful modality. We've just added the energetic aspect to it, and it's limitless where it will go. So we didn't want to put that in our institute name because it'll, you know, it's not just that. So
that's what I love studying with your school was that it brought in all elements, you know. I know when I was researching, you know, where to study hypnotherapy, it stood out so much because of that and all of the teachers that that you guys have in your at the Institute. And you're also, you know, so awake and spiritual and aware of all possibilities without insisting that anyone else has those beliefs. You're, you know, open to whatever, which it was a really just an amazing school in terms of the connection and the warmth and the support that was in the course, really. And then, so people wanting to look into the courses, your website's hypnoenergetics.com.au, is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
As in hypnoenergetics.com.au. And we'll have that site on the website. But also, Colleen, if people are wanting to have a session with you, you do not only personal sessions in Byron and Sydney, I think Sydney at certain times, but also Skype sessions, is that right?
That's right. I've done quite a few on Skype if the Skype connection's good. Obviously, it's a bit problematic if it's a really poor connection. And I like to see, you know, so that's the reason I do Skype. But usually, you know, this day and age, I don't tend to have many Skype dropouts, so it's usually a really, you know, good connection. And if it's a good connection, then that works really well because it's energy, you know, again, connecting energetically and taking somebody through that experience can be the other side of the world and that change things.
Absolutely. And so the best way to contact you is through your website, is that thegentleawakenings.com.au?
That's right, yeah, that's my personal business and, you know, the individual sessions I do, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Gentle Awakenings, as in GentleAwakenings.com.au is Colleen's website.
That's right.
If anyone's wanting to contact you about having a session. And you're
more
so
the therapy session as opposed to the longer, deeper, you know, I certainly wouldn't do a life between life session via Skype, but I'd certainly be able to recommend or pass people on to somebody in their area.
Yeah.
Yeah,
great.
Certainly the therapy sessions are available that way.
Okay, great. And so you're in Byron based most of the time. I know you're coming to Sydney, is it next month?
Yes, in October. I'm down there for
Okay, so yeah, so again, anyone who's in Sydney, Colin will be in Sydney. I'm seeing you then, and otherwise in Byron or via Skype. And check out the Hypnoenergetics website if you're wanting to find out about any of the training courses that are coming up this year and next year. Colleen, is there anything else you wanted to add about all of your amazing work on so many huge areas of energy work and hypnotherapy? Okay, I can't hear her, so I'm assuming there may be an issue with sound going on. So if you wanted to contact Colleen, we have given the website there and it will be on the website. So I think she's pretty well covered so much there, and I have a much better understanding myself on life between lives and past life regression. So thank you, Colleen. I hope you will hear me thanking you after the fact, and I'll contact you, but thank you so much for sharing so much info on hypno. She's an amazing, amazing teacher and facilitator, so I highly recommend her to everyone. I just love having sessions with Colleen. You never know what's going to come up. So thank you for joining us again on the show this week. You're on the Health and Happiness Show on Untangled FM. And next week on the show, I will be speaking to another inspiring woman about forgiveness and the role it plays in our life, both present, future, and depending on your belief system, past. Thanks for being with me, and I look forward to chatting again next week at the same time, 8 a.m. Sydney time, 10 p.m. London, and 3 p.m. Pacific Standard. Thanks for being here. See you later. Bye.